Let's say that a doctor comes in to you one day and he says to you, I've got some bad news and I've got some good news. First, the bad news. You have a deadly disease and you need an operation. But the good news is that the operation has a near 100% cure rate. What are you going to do under those circumstances? Would you agree that the operation is a dangerous, or the disease is a dangerous thing? And would you agree to that just knowing the bad news? Or would you refuse an operation because of the deadly disease with the knowledge of the good news? What would you do in a situation like that? You know, I guess throughout all of our lives, well, it happens to all of us, we've all received bad news. And we have all received good news. When I was putting this together and I was thinking about this thought, I remember Pat and I found ourselves in a good news, bad news situation at the same time. It was in February of 1989. We both got sick. It was the winter time, colds and flu and ear infections and all of that was going rampant around home. Pat and I were both sick, her more so than me. So we get in the car and we drive to the hospital and we go to the emergency room and they take both of us in. And of course, like I say, Pat was a little more sick than I was. And so they had to do a blood test on Pat. And the doctor came in and he said, I have the results of your blood test. I have bad news and I have good news. Well, that just blew our mind. He said, the bad news is you have a pretty bad ear infection. And they were going to have to give us medicine to fix that. The good news is you're pregnant. That's how we found out about Philip. So we came home, and my parents were staying with Mandy at our house while we went to the hospital. And we were late, of course, you know how hospital ERs are. We were late getting back to the house. And we went in the door, and my mother and daddy was asleep, and they got up. They were getting ready to go home themselves because they'd been at our house for a while. So they said, well, what'd you find out? And I said, well, it was good news, bad news. Pat's got an ear infection, and she's pregnant. My daddy looked up at me and says, pregnant? Come on, Earlene, let's go home. I'm tired. That didn't bother him at all. He didn't think about the fact he's fixing to be a grandfather again. You know, the book of Romans gives us bad news and good news from a spiritual standpoint. What I want to do is to look at that. We are given bad news as creatures of God. And we are given good news as creatures of God. First, the bad news. And you've already figured out what I'm going to say next, I'm sure. And that is, all are sinners. I don't care who you are, who your parents were, where you live, what you drive, how much money you have in the bank. You are a sinner. And I've had people actually tell me that they were not. I feel sorry for them folks because they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Because Paul has said, Romans 3 verse 10, there are none righteous, no, not one. We all sin. Now we need to understand one other thing when we think about the fact that we are sinners. We were not born that way. We became sinners by the life that we live. You know, there are many religions today that will tell you that you were born a sinner. And that you have to take action. When that child is born, you have to take action to remove the sins from that child because that child has mama and daddy's sins and the ancestors' sins and all of that. That's not true. Men become sinners through their lives. In Romans 3 and verse 12, beginning, let's read that together. It says this, they have all turned aside. What does that mean? When you turn aside from something, that means that you've been going in the right direction, and all of a sudden, you walk away from the right direction. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the saddest part about that is, we have done this to ourselves. No one else did it to us. We wasn't born with it. We have done this to ourselves. We are sinners without excuse. Go back to Romans chapter 1 and let's take a look at the Gentile nation. It says in verse 21 that they did not glorify God even though they knew Him. They knew who He was. They knew He was the God. They knew He was the Father. But they did not glorify Him as such. Verses 21 and 22 tells us that they turned to their own wisdom. In other words, they didn't listen to God, to what He had to say. They turned to their own thinking and their own ideas. And then in verse 23 through 25, it tells that they turned to a false or pagan worship. They did no longer recognize Him as their God. They found other gods that they wanted to serve. Verses 26 through 32 says that they followed their vile passions. In other words, they became immoral in a gross way. Now, in Romans chapter 2, Paul takes a look at the Jews. In chapter 2, verse 3, it says that the Jews did the same thing as the Gentiles. They turned away from God. They did not glorify Him as God. They even turned to false pagan worship. And they followed their own passions, their own desires, their own wants. And then in verse 4 through 11 it says, and they will receive the same impartial judging that the Gentiles will. God has His law, and He expects all to follow it. And Paul tells us, Romans 6, verse 23, the result of sin, the wages of sin, is death. Not only death, complete death, physical and spiritual as well. And not only is it physical and spiritual, it is an eternal death. It never ends. We also know that under the old law, the law of Moses, it didn't really give the people any relief of this. You see, when you look at the law of Moses, and so many people put so much stock in the law of Moses, and it was there for a reason. It was to lead us to Christ, to the new law, which was better. It was also to be a school for us that we can understand a better way to live, so when Christ's law came, we can live in a better way. But it could not forgive sin. It could not do so because it was weak. Hebrews 10 verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So the bad news is, we're all sinners. Human sacrifices will not remove sin. But there is good news. And the good news is, God has made it possible for us to have that forgiveness. The gospel of Jesus Christ gives us the relief that we need. Listen, Romans chapter 8, let's read verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death, which was the law of Moses. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, you know, when we take a look at what the law of Christ actually gives us, it is so much more than what the law of Moses could give us. Now, the law of Moses gave us a lot. It gave us a lot of morality. It told us how to live our lives in a good way. It told us things to stay away from in our lives. It told us things to do that would make our lives better. And I'm not talking about just the Ten Commandments. You go back to the book of Leviticus and you will find all of these specific, intricate laws. They all served a purpose to make life better for mankind. But again, it couldn't save. The law of Christ, but in other words, it gives us freedom. It gives us a freedom from sin, which the law of sin could not do. The old law was weak and was not capable of forgiving us. But God was able to forgive us by sending His Son. The law of Christ gives us hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, we are saved in this hope. The law of Christ gives us help that we need so desperately. Romans 8, 26, 27, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He, talking about the Spirit, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you and me, which is a part of the new law. The gospel, which is the good news for all, it is for all. It offers salvation for all who will obey it. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Notice that He didn't leave anybody out. He talked about the Jews, which was the chosen race to get Christ here. But when Christ got here, the job of the Jews were done. Now they are just like the Gentiles, like all men everywhere. So many people have a hard time understanding this. The only special purpose for the Jewish race was to get Jesus here. When Jesus got here, went to that cross, came out of that tomb, established His church, there is no longer anything special about the Jewish race. They're just like everybody else. But the good news is, this wonderful gospel is for the Jews and for the Greeks, which everyone in this room is a Greek, because we are not Jews. It saves all. And it saves all apart from any other system. In other words, nothing else is going to save us. From Moses' law to what man has concocted in his own mind, that is not going to offer us salvation. Only God's New Testament law can offer us salvation. The law of conscience, which the Gentiles basically had depended on, could not save them. And look what the law of conscience did to the Gentiles. It took their morality away from them. You can go back and read how vile and how corrupt the Gentile nation was. And that's what the law of conscience had succeeded in doing. Because when you go to that type of law, every man can make his own interpretation, and every man can look at the laws as he sees fit. And that's why Cornelius was not saved, even though he was a conscientious man. He was under that law of consciousness, and it could not save him. And he remained unsaved until he obeyed the law that was given to him by the New Testament. The law of works, the laws that the Jews depended on, could not save. the gospel can. But here's the catch. The gospel can only save you if you are willing to obey it. Now, if you need insurance for your house, you can tell everybody in the world, I have State Farm insurance. But until you go to them and you sign their documents and you align yourself with State Farm, you're not going to get one thin dime out of them, because they're really not your insurance, because you didn't take the effort to align yourselves with them. The gospel of Jesus Christ can save you. And we can walk around all day long saying, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And he does. But until we realign ourselves with him, until we are willing to follow him and obey him, the gospel will not save you. It saves only those who obey. Romans 6, 17 and 18, Paul said, but God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. What did you do? You gave yourself to God. You obeyed his commands. You obeyed his gospel. And now you have been set free from sin. But until you do that, you're still a slave of sin. Those who are condemned by sin and do not know it, they need to know the bad news that they are hopelessly lost. And when they understand them, they understand this bad news, give them the good news. Let them know that they can be saved, but only through obedience to the gospel of Christ as it has been given to us. Those who are condemned by sin and know it, they need to know the good news. They need to know they're lost, and they need to know what to do to get out from under it. That there is a hope, and this hope comes through obedience to Jesus Christ. So now today, my friends, you know the bad news, and you know the good news. The bad news is we're all sinners. The good news is we can all be forgiven and we can all have that home in heaven. You need to come to Jesus today. If you're not a Christian, the good news is the better news. Obey it today. Christian, if you've gone back into the world, you're lost again. It's as if you never obeyed God to begin with. But God has made it possible for you to come back and to be a part of him again. That's good news. It's saving news from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come back to him. Take advantage of that opportunity. Today, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.